and the blessings are falling tonight, because there's joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave up my old tattered garment, and he gave me a robe of pure white, and I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm fasting tonight. Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave up my old tattered garment, and he gave me a robe of pure white, and I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy too. Let's sing it like this. That's why I'm happy. Oh, that's why I'm happy. That's why I'm happy. That's why I'm happy tonight. 'Cause I've got joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave him my old tattered garment, and he gave me a robe of pure white, and I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. That's why I'm happy. Oh, that's why I'm happy. That's why I'm happy. That's why I'm happy tonight. Hallelujah. 'Cause I've got joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave him my old tattered garment, and he gave me a robe of pure white, and I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows, oh, the windows of heaven are open, and the blessings are falling tonight, because there's joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave him my old tattered garment, and he gave feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Give the Lord a clap of praise if you're happy. Amen. Hallelujah. You ready for the word?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Songs like that on Wednesday are for multiple purposes. Hopefully it wakes you up.
Amen.
Hopefully it gets you ready for the word. Amen. So let's just sing, "Open the Eyes of My Heart," as Brother Bob comes, ministers unto us.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 about your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to sing.
Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Are you ready to see Jesus?
Amen.
Amen.
Let's just go ahead and turn over in the scripture to Exodus chapter 12 and then Isaiah chapter 22. I know many are out sick and different things tonight, and I also got a... Oh, thank you. I also got a pop-up prayer request on my phone a few minutes ago for a brother in Australia that I used to email back and forth with Simon Cullen in. And he said that the wildfires are just about on his family's property. So I want to pray for him right now as well. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we get into the scripture. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather around your word tonight and look into the scripture and see more of you, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'll strengthen your people tonight, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord, that I might get out of the way, Lord Jesus, that you could say something worthwhile, Lord God, that, Lord, when the people leave tonight, Lord Jesus, they'll go back to their home strengthened and with something that they might overcome the temptations of this life and the things of this world, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, tonight, Lord, that you'll remember Brother Simon down there across on the other side of the world, Lord, and his family, and blow that fire away from his house, Lord Jesus. We know that you're still a prayer answering God, and you're still able to come upon the scene, Lord God. And we know, Lord God, that we have a special access as your bride to you, Lord Jesus, because we have a revelation of who you are and who we are in this hour that we're living in. And Lord, we just call upon the name of the Lord for our brother, Lord Jesus, and for all of the saints that are missing, absent tonight, that are sick and afflicted, and all the different things that are befalling your people, Lord God. We ask, Lord, that you'll remember them, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we just open up our hearts and our minds tonight, Lord Jesus, and we pray that you'll feel welcome to come and walk the aisles with us tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you'll just quicken the word as we hear it, Lord God, and open our hearts, Lord Jesus. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Every time I get up here, I have to magnify the words a little bit more. We're getting older. There you go. I'm going to take this off. We're supposed to have liberty, right?
That's right.
And it says, Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 to 11. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb.
Right.
And then we'll go over to Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22. And I wasn't going to read Jeremiah, so y'all can pop that down to the next screen. But we'll stop at Isaiah 22. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Maybe a little odd combination of the scriptures tonight, but what I wanted to talk about is the key to overcome, the key to overcoming. And you know, if you can get access to the key, if you can understand what the key is to overcoming in this life, then it'll give you strength in this. It'll give you something that you can use to combat the devil in this day that we're living in. And that scripture in Exodus is kind of a strange little thing to kind of start with tonight, because really it's speaking of a people that were in natural bondage, that they could look around and they were obviously in enslavement. They were forced to make bricks every day and forced to do manual labor and forced to work without straw and all the different requirements that we know of from reading and from our parents telling us all these stories. But you know, tonight, many of us, many people may be sitting here tonight are in spiritual enslavement.
That's right,
where the devil has got you so bound and so caught up in the things of this world and so bogged down in life that you're actually in bondage. And you know, on the way over to church tonight, Brother Zach he said, let's listen to Romans chapter 6. And we began to listen to that, and it began to speak about how that we were once slaves. But now, through Christ, He has given us liberty to come out of that enslavement. He's through being identified in His death, we have come into life. And so, you see, if we could find that key, if we could find the way to escape out of bondage, it'll give us power over all these things that beset us. So tonight you might say, well, I'm miserable, I'm unsatisfied, I know I'm thirsting for something, and you might be bound by sin, but there is a key of deliverance. There is something that can set you free, that can open up the prison bars, that can open up the gates of that prison house that you're in. And I read maybe some scriptures like Isaiah chapter 22 and the key of the house of David, which, you know, you could almost suspect maybe that tonight we might get so deep that you'd get a migraine. And I don't intend to get really deep tonight. I just want to preach, maybe just kind of get back to the basics tonight, the basics of salvation, what it is to be a Christian, what it is to have deliverance, what it is to why we even want to be a Christian tonight.
Amen.
Why would we want to serve the Lord? And I believe that we should be able to come to a place where we want to serve the Lord so much, you fall in love with the Lord so much that we're not serving God because to get a place in heaven or hell or to get some reward like that. But I'm serving Jesus tonight because I'm in love with Jesus. We serve Him not because we're forced to do it, because there's a book of rules or something, but because we're in love with God. And I believe that tonight, if you can fall in love with God so much that you're willing to do whatever it takes, you're willing to obey His commandments, you're willing to get on your knees and pray all night, you're willing to study and get in the Word, I believe that's the kind of relationship that God desires for His people.
Amen.
It's to not do things out of hate and do things out of a requirement, but do things because you love the Lord Jesus. You see, there's a problem. The reason why many of us are in bondage and are held in chains of captivity by the devil is because there's a problem. And if we could identify the problem first of all, then we can identify what the solution is. And the problem is that every one of us, down on the inside of you, you have a soul. And that soul is the thing that carries you one way or the other. Even though you may not be able to really even identify it right now as you're sitting in this congregation, you can look and you can touch your skin, and you can feel, you can remember things, and you can kind of be aware of your spirit as you reason and you remember. But way down on the inside of that man, down at the very bottom, is your soul is the thing that carries you, that will carry you down or carry you up. The problem that we have, if we have a problem tonight, is that you have a heart that needs to be changed. The problem is your heart. You know, the Bible says that man will do whatever is in their heart. Whatever is in your heart is the thing that will cause you to go this way or that way. The thing that will cause you to desire evil or cause you to desire good. That will cause you to love the Lord or cause you to love the world. It's that thing way down on the inside. And you need deliverance. You need the problem that we have is that heart needs to be changed, you see. The word of God is what discerns the heart. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is so deceitful that you could be sitting here today thinking that because you pay your tithes, or because you're in the Lula assembly, or because Brother Dale is your pastor, or because you're sitting here in a message church, that you are all right. But the heart is deceitful. You can be deceived by those things, because your heart can still not be filled with the presence of the living God, and you will be deceived. And I want maybe tonight to share with you how you cannot be deceived, how to know whether you've got the real, genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost or not. Because we'll see when you understand what the answer, what the remedy is, then you can understand your condition in this hour. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. In other words, the Lord is constantly examining your motives, the thing that drives you down on the inside, to see what is causing you to act and do the way that you are. And what is the way that God discerns? The Bible says that the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you realize that when you come and sit in the sanctuary of the Lord and the word goes from over the pulpit, the word is actually discerning what is in your heart? You'll sit there and you'll say, well, I don't believe that, or I reject that, or you'll maybe even feel a little bit nervous, a little bit shaky. I wonder if that minister is preaching on me tonight. I wonder if he's talking to me. When maybe the minister doesn't even know what in the world your situation is, but yet the word is going forth and is discerning the thoughts and intents of your heart. The word is what God uses to measure. You remember the measuring line that Zerubbabel used to build the temple? He took the plumb line and he measured the temple. He measured his construction work against the word. He compared it with the word, and that's what we're doing tonight. We're comparing our lives. We're looking into the scripture, and as a mirror, that the Bible says, to see how our lives measure up. Because how will you know? How the only way that you can know what is down on the inside of your soul is to compare it with the word. The heart is deceitful. The heart will deceive you and make you think that everything's all right because you got maybe all the examples that we've used before, paving the parking lot and putting a roof on the church and all the good things, playing and being a musician in the church band and all of those things. All of those things are wonderful and needful, but they will come to naught at the end of the road if you don't have the life of Christ on the inside to bear record for you, to testify you, to make an atonement for you, to purge you of all your sins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, it says, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. If your heart will turn to the Lord, then the veil over your eyes will be taken away, and you'll be able to see Jesus for who he really is. You know, we think if we can just be good, if we can just get people to wear a longer dress, or the women to wear a longer dress, or if we can just get them to look different, that will change things. If we can just get somebody, maybe if we can just shut down all the cigarette factories, if we can shut down all the alcohol factories, if we can pass all these laws so that you can't sell marijuana or LSD or all these different things in the street, then that will change things. But the problem tonight is not the laws of the land and all these different kind of things. The problem is your heart. That is the problem. The Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And David said in Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I wonder tonight if there's any Christians here that are really desiring for God to search them and try them and see if there's anything, any incorrect motive in their life, and to probe deep and find out, you know, even to the point where you're not afraid for your dirty laundry to be aired, for everything just to be made open, for you to, because I believe when God gets a hold of a person's life and changes them and changes their whole direction, then now you've got a testimony. You've got something that you can share with people and say, I once was like this, and now I'm like this. And maybe that's one thing I want to declare to all the young people tonight, is that pretty much all the older ones in this building tonight, we could go around and point out different examples of people. We once were lost in sin. Every person in here has a story. Every person has a testimony. We're not just a bunch of goody two-shoes. I don't believe that God wants a bunch of good Christians. He doesn't want good people. He wants people that have been changed by the Holy Ghost, by the power of God in their life. And if God can change my life, if he can change Brother Wade's life, if he can change Brother Tony's life, if he can change Brother John's life, he can change your life too. We've got all these testimonies of people whose lives have been changed tonight, and he can do the same thing for you. We don't need to be good. We need to be Christian. You know, you remember the stories about all the people in the Old Testament who gave God just a little bit of their life. Samson, he gave God his faith and his gift, but he wouldn't give God his heart. He gave his heart to Delilah, but he wouldn't give God his whole heart. And about Saul, who failed to just completely destroy the Amalekites because he failed to give God his whole heart. Then you got people like David who gave their whole heart to God, but yet they would slip up every now and then. They would slip up in big major ways. You see, the problem tonight is our heart. If you've got a real, genuine, converted heart and you slip up and fall, you're going to go run right back to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. I messed up. Save me. Repent. I repent of what I've done. And the Bible says that he's just and able to forgive you of your sins if you'll just ask him. Listen, the problem tonight is our heart. It's the one that's sitting in your seat, warming your seat tonight. It's not the one sitting next to you. It's not the one behind the pulpit. It's not your pastor tonight. It's not the song leader. The problem is not your friends, and it's not your parents. Many times we think the problem is our parents. If our parents would raise us a little bit different and all this kind of thing, but you remember, the Bible tells us of a little boy named Josiah who was raised by ungodly parents, but when he came of age, they put a crown on his head and he said, I'm going to serve the Lord that I've heard about. Listen, there's many things that we can blame tonight, but the problem is our own heart. We are the problem. If we could change our hearts tonight, then we could change the church. The whole church would change if we could get a heart change. But many times we just settle for being good. I don't want to settle for being good tonight. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 to 4, it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I believe that the nurture and admonition of the Lord is not to train our children just to be goody two-shoes. I don't want my children to be goody two-shoes where they're just going around faking a good Christian life. That when they come to church, they put on a big show, and then when they go off where somebody can't see, then they act totally different. I want my children to be changed and saved. And I believe tonight that the nurture and admonition of the Lord is not just telling them to put on a show, but actually loving them and being salty in front of them and letting them know that when they go to bed at night that you're praying for them. They can hear your prayers through the house, that you have a Bible study with them. You're bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord because you're bringing them up in a way, the way that they should go, and that way is to love the Lord God with all their heart and with all their soul and not just to be good people. I believe we've got enough good people to fill many churches around the world today. We don't need any more good people. We need changed people. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19 and we'll find out what good people is. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, it says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And first of all, he was coming to him thinking with all this goody two-shoes nonsense, good master, what good thing shall I do? What thing can I do that would be really good that would warrant me eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? In other words, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know whether I'm good or not. You're just trying to talk up to me, trying to get on my good side. There is none good but one, that is God. And if there's none good but one, then that's the one that you need inside to change you. There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, he's still battling. Well, I want to be good. I'm having a problem with the thing that being just good is not the thing that will give me eternal life. He saith unto him, which, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? What he lacked was to have a heart that was willing to make the sacrifice, to do whatever it took. Jesus did not care about his money. He don't care about your tithes tonight. He don't care about it in that way. But you pay tithes as a scriptural obligation because it's a requirement from God that if you'll give your tithes into the storehouse, you'll get a reward back. But God doesn't need your money. He didn't need this man's money. What he needed from him was to soften up his heart and give his heart wholly to God so that he was willing to part with whatever God required of him. Jesus said unto them, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Listen, you may be a keeper of the law tonight, but have you fully surrendered your whole heart to God? Have you fully given over everything to God? Have you got to a place where you're just willing to lay everything out, where you don't care what people think about you, where you don't care if people will mock you because of the things that you used to do? You don't care if people will mock you because of the change that God has wrought in your life. Come to a place where you're willing to get down in the mud and the muck and the mire and say, God, do something with me and change my life so that you can use me, so that you can produce something glorious in my life. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3 verses 8 to 13, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err where? In their heart. And they have not known my ways because they were not willing to give their heart fully to God. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness. And so I exhort you tonight, I exhort you to not be hard-hearted, to be zealous toward the Lord your God. Why? Because in Psalms chapter 51, David said, for thou desirest, and God, he knew that God did not desire sacrifice. What God was really after was the sacrifices of God, or a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. Could you imagine if you would just conceptualize for a moment, meditate on this thought, that what God, the sacrifices that God is really after is a heart that's so tore up, that's so broken and beat down, and you're just so fed up with the world that you're ready to just lay everything aside and say, God, fill me with your Holy Ghost. Give it to me, Lord. Listen, tonight, if there's a heart problem, there's got to be a heart solution. And so now I want to shift over and talk about that, because the heart solution is the key to overcoming, the key to access into the throne room, the key to access to every promise of God tonight. And listen, tonight, I believe that I've got something to share with you tonight. So don't enter into the slumber. Awake thou that sleepest. Awake up, rise up, because I've got a message for you tonight. I've got a message of cheer that will help you. So don't be quick to close your eyes tonight. Maybe if I yell it loud enough that you won't fall asleep. How could you fall asleep? Oh, come on. Well, just as we get to the key of the overcomer, the thing that will give you power to overcome the devil, then you begin to enter into the land of Nod. Listen. We were reading in Exodus, the book of Exodus, about how they took the lamb inside of their house. They brought the lamb and they began the requirement. A message from the prophet of the day had gone out to take the lamb and kill it and put the blood over the lintel of your door. Then bring that lamb on the inside of your house, on the inside of your house. And tonight, the inside of your house is this house. This house is the house that you're supposed to bring the lamb into. So if you want to know what the key is, the key is a very mysterious thing. The key is a thing. Abel was the first person in the Bible that's recorded to have a revelation of what this key was. And if you go all the way back, listen, let's go all the way back and look at the key that Abel found, the key to access into the throne room of God. Because you see, when Adam and Eve were ejected from the Garden of Eden, they were put out, the cherubim stood there in the garden to guard the way back back to the tree of life. And they stood there, and I imagine Abel would be looking there thinking, how can I get back into fellowship with God? How can my fellowship, how can my access to him be restored? And he would sit there on the hill. Maybe let's put it personal tonight. Maybe many of you tonight are thinking, I know that there is a God. I know that he's real. I've been to camp meetings. I've been to services where I've felt his presence. I know that he's real. But yet I question if I really have access to him. And maybe Abel was sitting on that hill thinking, I wonder how I can have access to him. And then all of a sudden, God began to speak to him and quicken the word that he had already heard from his daddy share with him, the things that he had heard his daddy explain to him, but it quickened to him, and he realized all of a sudden maybe he heard a lamb bleeding. Because you see, the key to access back into the throne room of God, into fellowship with him tonight, the key is that you must have a lamb. Abel needed a lamb, and he knew that the process for getting back into fellowship with God is that lamb had to die. And he took a knife or a rock or whatever it was, all bloody. And you see, Cain's eyes were veiled to what that key was. Cain could not see what that key was, that the lamb was the access. The lamb was the way back. And I wonder, when they were down in Egypt land, if there were many Egyptians and all of the people all around, surrounding all of the people that were painting that blood over the lintels of their door, if they began to laugh and scoff and say, like Cain did, that's not the key. That's not the right way to do it. But it was the right way to do it. And see, They were killing an actual lamb back then, but it spoke of something that happened two thousands of years later, that God would give his life on the cross for you and I, because you see, we needed a lamb too. Without that lamb, you would not be able to have access back into the throne room. The whole scripture speaks of this lamb. Abraham needed a lamb when he was going up the mountain with Isaac. In Genesis chapter 22, he said, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. See how he spoke prophetically, that he would provide himself a lamb. The key to getting access to God, the key to being able to approach to God, is that lamb. And if you go back into the Old Testament and look how Paul explained that situation, he started in Hebrews 11. He began to say, and Abel by faith in that lamb. And then he skips over and he begins to talk about Enoch, because that little bit of faith that he had in that lamb unfolded and unfolded and unfolded until Enoch was able to take a body change. Based upon what that lamb had done. Based upon what the lamb had done. And we are going to take a body change based upon what the lamb has done. The lamb of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What is this talking about? It's talking about that lamb that will give us access back into the throne room. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers it is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Do you see, the Lamb is the thing by which you have access back into the grace of God. The Lamb is what gives you, it is the key to opening up every promise of God. But you see, the thing is, you've got to bring that Lamb into your house. You've got to do what they did down in Egypt land and eat that lamb. And the Bible says they had to eat everything, even the pertinence thereof. They had to eat the hind part, the head part, and everything in between. You've got to eat the whole revelation of Jesus Christ, everything that's been revealed down through the seven church ages. And now, especially in this age, we don't just get a part. We get the entire thing. We have access to the whole thing that's been revealed to us. And you see, the revelation of that lamb is the key that will give you access to open up the door. It will give you access. If you can catch that revelation, you know what it'll make you do? It'll make you come to church when the doors are open. It'll make you open your Bible when you're home in alone time. It'll make you begin to pray and ask God to reveal it to you. It'll make you get serious about God, because if you can see what the key is, then you can have an understanding of what you have to do. You see, the whole journey, the whole thing starts with your house. In Joshua chapter 24:15, it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I believe that every Christian here today is going to make that same determination, that same statement. "As for me and my house, we are going to allow the Lamb to come in. We're going to allow the Lamb to come in and have complete lordship over my home. Not one room, not one door in my house will be off limits. I'm going to let him come in and have complete sway over the whole thing. He can look and examine and pull open the dresser drawers and pull open the cupboards and look wherever he wants to and examine and see if there's anything unclean. Allow him to do like David said and search my heart and try my reins and search my whole house and see if there's anything within me that's not right, because when the Lamb is in your house, that will give you access back to God. And how do you get the key? How do you get the Lamb in your house? Eat the Lamb. You must eat the book. You must take it and you must eat it all. You must eat it up, because we're going out in the morning. Listen, they couldn't go on that journey without eating that Lamb. They could not go on that journey without that blood over the door of their house. They could not go over to the Red Sea and expect it to part. They could not go expect to go into the Promised Land except they had accepted that Lamb into their house. And you see, that's one thing I believe that many times we war with, is we want to jump the gun. We want to find a quick way to get to the end of the journey. You don't build a house without laying the foundation first. Could you imagine a couple getting married and they don't even realize whether or not they love each other, and the man doesn't have a job, and the woman doesn't hardly have understand the basics of domestic ability and all those kind of things. She doesn't hardly have a foundation laid out. You've got to lay a foundation before you move on. You've got to get people come to church sometimes and they begin to say, "Well, tell me what the seven seals are. Tell me what the seven seals you." How are you going to get the seven seals unless you have that foundation laid? You can't have that. You can't even begin to approach to understand the seven seals or the seven thunders until you've had the foundation laid. First, worry about getting the Lamb in your house, and then you can worry about the things that come after that. And the Bible says they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and all those things. I'm just trying to... We got this new clock, and it's moving around just the same as that old clock did, just in a different way. But you see, he is the key. The Lamb is the key. The Lamb is the key to open up the shut door. The Lamb is the key. The Lamb was the key to allow the high priest to go into the inner veil. And everybody would be looking at the high priest going in the inner veil and wondering, how can I go in there too? And then one day, the real Lamb showed up and gave his life so that you too could go beyond the veil, because the Lamb is the thing that gives sight to your soul. The Lamb is God's pardon to you. It gives you access to the promises of God. It gives you power to overcome the devil. Amen. The Lamb is the seal on your life.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And what is the Lamb? What do I mean when I say the Lamb? I mean the Lamb is Jesus Christ. So the revelation of Jesus Christ is the key that opens up access to you to every promise of God. I hope you can see now how to know whether you've got it or not. Do you see Jesus? Let me just read some quotes here before I go on into, we're going to get down into where the rubber meets the road here in a second. And the message, washing Jesus' feet, Brother Brown said, what I want, he was talking about how he thought the mayor had left him a key to the city and all those kind of things. But he said, I don't know whether this is the key to the city, but I tell you what I want. What I want is the key to the scripture, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the key to the door, Brother Brown said, what the church needs tonight is the key to the scriptures, the door. Isn't that strange? How could you even picture that in your mind, that the key to the door is the door? The key to the door is the door, which Christ is the door, and he is the word. Faith in the word of the living God unlocks every door. God, give us this key. Give us the key. And in the Philadelphian church age, Brother Ram said, how can it be? How can any man know he is the Christ until he's revealed himself to him? See, he reveals himself. He has the key. He can open it or leave it alone. See, I have the key to the door. I am the door is what Jesus is saying. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the Father. I am the Son. I am the Holy Ghost. I am, not I was, and so on and so forth. He's saying, I am the key. I am the one that can open up the door. And if you have him on the inside, he will reveal himself to you, and he will open up the door to you. Should I read all these quotes or not? Let me read this quote. This question, God hiding himself in simplicity in 1963. Because this is a good one that you hear ministers quote all over the place, everywhere. That if you can surrender fully, in other words, if you can get that Lamb inside of you, if you can open up the door, if you can yield yourself so that the Lamb can come in, he'll come in fully. When you surrender fully, he'll come in fully. But until you surrender, he can't come in fully. Surrender. Surrender your thoughts. Surrender your thinking. Surrender your life. Surrender your all. Surrender your prestige. Surrender everything to him now. And he'll come in and fill you with the Holy Ghost. That's what he's here to do. He's already struck two or three here in the building. So you see, we've covered what we've talked about tonight is that the problem is not the other people in the building. The problem is your heart. That you need your heart to be changed. And the thing that will change your heart is this key. And if you can get this key, the Lamb is the key. If you can get the key, if you can surrender yourself and allow the Lamb to come in, then he will give you access into all the promises of God. You will be able to understand the promises of God and how things work. Do you realize the way a key works? You can give a key to a little child and say, go unlock my car and bring me the thing that's laying in the seat and come back. And a little child can use the key. But as time goes on, the mystery of that key unfolds, and then one day they're driving the car. But you see, you as a little child in the gospel can use a key. You have the access to the key, and the key will give you access to the promises of God, but you don't have full access until you have fully surrendered yourself, until you have given yourself completely over to God. And how do you fully surrender yourself? By eating the Lamb. By eating it and eating it and eating it. And God reveals himself to you until you understand what you're doing here. The day and the hour that you're living here, what your purpose is, you see yourself in the Word, you're identified in the Scripture, you know who Jesus Christ is, and God is leading you and guiding you until you're coming down to a honed edge revelation of who he is. And you can see all of the world falling off, all of the different ones falling away, but yet God is keeping you because you have the key. You have the key. And so the question tonight is, will you open up the door and let the Lamb come in? Will you open up the Lamb and allow Him to have access to your house? Will you open it up tonight and allow that key to have preeminence in your dwelling place? And so tonight I want to get a little bit down into where the rubber meets the road. Why do you resist? Why do you resist allowing God to come in and have preeminence in your life? When you hear the gospel preached, when you see signs and wonders performed, when you go to camps and see miracles performed in your sight, when you go to services and see things done in your very midst before your natural eyes, and still you resist to allowing the Lamb to come into your house. Why do you resist? And I'll say this to the born again believers too. There's a reason. Why do you resist? Why do you come to a place where you're really willing to go around and around Mount Horeb, and you're not willing to allow God to come in and have complete preeminence over your life? Why do you resist the Holy Ghost? Why do you resist it? Let's see, I believe one reason. You see, when Moses began to preach to those children of Israel down in Egypt, he was preaching a message that you've got to let the Lamb come in your house. You've got to allow it to come in, and you've got to eat it all. And they began to, maybe some of them would say, well, I don't understand why we got to do this. That seems unnecessary. That seems very ugly. That seems very grotesque. And so you see what they did. They did not recognize that God was at the door of their home. They did not recognize that He was in their midst. And so maybe tonight you've got that same problem. Maybe tonight that you don't realize that God is actually walking the aisles down to the pews. God is actually the one right now knocking on the door of your heart. But maybe that you've allowed the devil to harden your heart to a place where your heart has come to a place where you don't recognize that that is who that is knocking at the door of your heart. You see, you can only repent. You can only come to a place of repentance when you recognize the greatness of God, when you recognize who that is at the door. The reason people don't repent anymore is because they don't fear God anymore. That's the reason why people don't reverence their parents that are good God-fearing Christians. That's the reason people don't reverence the ministry anymore, is because the fear of God has left them. They don't recognize who that is at the door. Listen, I'm going to take it back to the scripture here. The Bible in Matthew chapter 10 says, "He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." Now let's dive into that. Let's think about that a little bit. He that receiveth you, He's sending His disciples out. He's sending His preachers out. He's sending the God-fearing parents out to raise their children in the admonition of the Lord. And when you as a parent lay the word out before your children, and it's the same word, the same gospel that the prophet spoke. It's the same gospel that came straight out of, from God out of heaven. If your children will receive that, they're receiving God. Tonight, if you'll receive the gospel that I'm preaching to you, it's the same thing as receiving the Lamb Himself. It's the same as receiving God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 to 6, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Become as little children who will just say, "Teach me. My bowl is empty. Fill it up. Give it to me, and I'll do whatever you say." If you'll do like that, God can do something with you. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." In other words, if there's just a little child that all they know how to do in the gospel is take the key and open up the car door, they can't even drive yet. They're just a little child that can barely know how to operate the heavy machinery. If you'll receive that little child that's got a revelation, no matter how small it is, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the same thing as receiving Him. But in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, they say, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." This is Stephen's sermon, the sermon that Stephen preached that got him killed. "Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you." Why do you resist? They resisted. And why do you resist tonight? Do you know there's many people in the Bible that resisted? There's many people here tonight that resisted, and then one day God got a hold of them. Do you know that Paul resisted the Holy Ghost? Paul was out there persecuting Christians, and when God finally got a hold of him and he saw the pillar of fire, Jesus' words to him were, "Why do you kick against the pricks?" He was pricking at him and prodding at him and trying to get him to move, and he was resisting the whole while. And you might tonight be resisting the Holy Ghost, but I say to you tonight, open up the door of your heart and let the Lamb come in. What we need to do is recognize that He is here. Do you remember that little story that Brother Bram told about the little boy? The little boy that he got sentenced to for doing a big crime, and his mama went to the governor and cried and everything and said, let my boy out. They're going to kill him. And finally the governor said, "All right, I'll go talk to him." And the governor walked into the jailhouse, and the little boy was so prideful and just so full of it, so arrogant. I don't even want to talk to nobody. I don't care who that is. I don't even want to see you. And as the governor was leaving, somebody said, "You are so," I'll say in my words, "You're so dumb. How could you be so stupid? How could you be so ignorant to let the governor that had the pardon in his hand walk out and leave you?" And the little boy with remorse went to the gallows and gave his life, knowing that the governor had come to give him his pardon, because he didn't recognize who that was at the door. You see, tonight, do you recognize that the Lamb is here at the door, knocking at the door of your heart? And Brother Branham said the last thing the boy said when they put the black mask over his face to hang him, when they pulled the rope up tight, put the mask over him, said, "Think of it. The governor stood in my cell and would have pardoned me if I hadn't turned him out." And you know, one of these days, there's going to be a time come when many people will look back on congregational services like this very night, and think, if I would have known that Jesus Christ was in the building, if I would have known that was Him knocking at the door in my heart, I wouldn't have turned Him out. And I believe that's the purpose of the fivefold ministry, is to identify to you when the governor, when the Lord Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart, to open up your eyes like Elijah did. When Elijah prayed for God to open up his servant's eyes so that he could see all the chariots of fire around the hill. Open up your eyes tonight and see who that is knocking at the door of your heart tonight. Why do we resist? Another reason is because we're satisfied with where we are. We get to a place where we just come to church and we're going through the motions, and we just come and we're sitting. We're happy with our position in church. We're happy with playing an instrument or whatever. We're happy being a deacon. We're happy being a minister, whatever it is. Because, you know, you can get satisfied even if you're born again. God, being born again does not take away your free will. You can get to a place where you're just like, "Well, I'm happy. I'm a Christian. I'm just fine with the place where I am." And you get so complacent with where you don't go study the Word anymore. You don't keep opening up your Bible at night. You forget praying. I was talking to somebody at another church recently, and they were saying it seems like people in the message don't even believe in praying anymore. They don't pray anymore. And I want to tell you tonight, I believe that if you'll open up the Lamb and let that Lamb have access to you, something within you will begin to cry out for your fellow believers, for your church, for your home, for your children. Something will begin to cry out, and you'll understand what true prayer is. Why? Because you're not satisfied with where you are. Oh, Lord, don't let me blow my voice out. I got some more to say. You're not satisfied with where you are. We get to a place where we're just fine with where you are. Do you know the Bible says that is the problem with the Laodicean church age? And in Revelation chapter 3, it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Lukewarm means you're just going to church. You're helping. You're putting some extra money into the church. You're doing some things. But yet you grow to a place where maybe you think, well, I don't know if I can understand anymore. It seems so complicated when they talk about seven seals and the seven thunders and Daniel 70 weeks and all these things. You know what? I'm just gonna put that off a little bit because I'm satisfied with where I am. I'm satisfied. Do you realize that if you don't catch a revelation, if God does not give you a revelation of the seven thunders, if the seven thundered voices do not thunder out in your life, if God does not reveal that to you, you will have to go by the way of the grave. The seven thunder revelation, the revelation of the seven seals is a revelation that God has completed the work of redemption in you, and you are going to take a body change. But if you get complacent and say, well, I'm satisfied, I don't need to understand all these things that seem so complicated, I don't need to get into the mysteries. Why do I need to understand who is this Melchizedek? Why do I need to understand Christ, the mystery of God revealed? It's good enough for me to just be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be born again, and I'm not going to go on. Listen, there's more to this than just being born again. Amen. Don't be satisfied when you come to faith. Amen. Something in you when you get born again should be crying out, should be longing for more of God, to never get satisfied. Never get satisfied. There's always more of God, and if you can fully yield yourself, God will fully fill you up. Never get bored, tired, weary, or pessimistic. Right. Listen, I think we get so satisfied with where we are that when we come to church, many times we're already plotting our exit. We're already thinking about how we can make a quick exit. As soon as the doors come open, I'm gonna get out of here. As soon as the doors come open, I'm gonna try to get in my car before the rush. I'm out of here. We're thinking, we're plotting because our minds are not on the service. We're not concerned about the Word of God. We're not concerned about the Word of God so much till we're ready to just say, eat it all, even the pertinence thereof. We're so concerned with how long the preacher goes and whether our behinds get tired or not and whether we get stiff in the chair and sitting and listening to the preacher, that I believe now more than ever we should be more concerned with the Word of God than ever, because you can see the day and the hour that we're living in. Now is not the time to get complacent. Let me read some things that Brother Branham said. And sirs, we would see Jesus. He said, it's because there's something in them that desires to be satisfied. There's a little place in a man. He's talking about why people go into sin and all these things. There's a little place in a man's heart, a woman's heart, and God made that place for himself. How dare you try to take the things of the world and put it in there where God made for himself to sit there. God is our joy. God is our pleasure. God is our satisfaction. Amen. That's where it belongs in here. Let God in and let the other things. And then the other things are so dead, you don't even care about them no more. And then down at the bottom, he says, let's keep climbing higher and higher till we reach that promised land. You see, there's another quote I have in there. I'll just touch on briefly about how Brother Ram said that the reason that God likens his church, his bride, to an eagle is because the eagle does not set his nest down on the ground anywhere. The eagle has high aspirations. The eagle is always seeking to climb higher and higher. In other words, the eagle is not satisfied by being down in the chicken yard. The eagle has got to go higher. And you are an eagle, and you've got to go higher. You've got to always be climbing higher and higher. And Deuteronomy, let's read this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 to 15. I don't know why I'm rushing. Let me slow down. We got time. I get all nervous or something and start rushing and y'all don't make me nervous now. Don't start getting droopy eyed. That'll make me want to rush. Like Brother Aaron said, I like that. That was pretty good. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. When thou, this is the warning that God gave them in as they were coming into the promised land. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. See, when you eat and you're full, then you start getting satisfied. That's a dangerous place to be. That's why he says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Do you realize that's what many here sitting here tonight have done? What we've done is do you remember back when you first got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you were going to meetings and it didn't care how far away it was, you would drive and you were so on fire for the Lord and you were eating and you got full. And then as time went on, you found you a good church and you just kind of, you began to just relax a little bit. Wow, we got it made here. We got some good musicians. We got some good preaching. And you get complacent and you get to a place where you stop digging into the word. There's always, no matter how deep you go into the gospel, there's more and more things that continue to unfold. Remember what I was explaining about Abel to Enoch. Abel started off on the little key of the lamb, but it unfolded and unfolded until it got to Enoch, and Enoch took a body change. Abel didn't take a body change, but Enoch took a body change. And the revelation of Jesus Christ unfolds and unfolds in your life until you become so full that you'll take a body change. But don't get complacent. Don't come to a place where you're satisfied and you just stop. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 63, I love reading David. When I was a brand new Christian, I would read David and it inspired me how gung-ho and fervent and zealous he was for the Lord, about how he talked about his heart panting for the Lord. His heart was panting like a deer that would run after the water brook. That, in other words, he never got satisfied. He always wanted more. He said, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow, and fatness in my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee on the night watches. Do you do that? Do you remember him when you go to bed? Do you sit there and just meditate on him until the Spirit comes and washes over you and the tears begin to fall down? Do you just praise God in the midnight hour? Have you come to a place where you're just so complacent that you've forgotten those things? I want to encourage, like Brother Wade's been doing, to get back to a personal revival where it's you and God in a personal fellowship and something's happening in your life. It might not be happening in the person sitting next to you in the church pew, but let it happen in your life, because the problem is with your individual heart. Because thou hast been my help, he says, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. In Psalm chapter 63, he said, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Do like David did and always be looking. Always be, excuse me, expecting for something greater. When you come to church, I believe what we've begun to do is when we come to church, we start expecting it to be the regular, routine, monotonous service. But and the problem is not the service. The problem is not the preacher. The problem is not the song leader. The problem is our expectations. The problem was you. The problem is that we've allowed ourselves to grow cold and weary. We've allowed ourselves to grow bored with what we're hearing. But when you come into the sanctuary and you begin to expect God to speak to you, then God will do so. Do you know Solomon, when he dedicated of the temple, he got the Ark of the Covenant in there. He got everything all fixed, but yet he was expecting something else to happen. And then he began to call upon the name of the Lord. He began to cry out to God, and that's when the Shekinah glory came and filled the tabernacle. It filled that the Lamb came and abode there in the Holy of Holies. And then one day, Jesus, the Lamb himself, came into the temple, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees had gotten to a place where they didn't expect anything. anything anymore. They were satisfied with the condition they were in. They were fine. And they, because they were satisfied, they didn't recognize when Jesus came to his temple. And I'll read this before I keep going on. It is not I, be not afraid. In 1960, Brother Adam said, you need him. We all need him.
Right.
I need more of him. You need more of him.
Right,
there's one thing that I can't get satisfied with. There's one thing that I can't get satisfied with enough of God.
Right.
Oh, as much as we can let ourselves go, then God can come in.
Amen.
But we've got to get ourselves out of the way.
Amen.
Our own ideas. Let the Holy Spirit come in and show us things to come. He said he would do it and bring things to our remembrance. Because you see, we need a heart change tonight.
Right.
The problem is our heart. The problem is our heart. It's not my neighbor's heart. It's our heart. And you see, there's a lot of different reasons why we resist. Because we don't recognize the presence of the Lord. And here's another reason why we resist. And I'm going to be closing here in a minute. I don't plan to keep you long tonight. So don't worry about your weary back and those kind of things. But listen, this is where the rubber meets the road. One of the reasons I believe tonight that we don't open up that door is because of our pride. You know, Brother Branham would say, he would talk about how that back then when he would be preaching, he would talk about how that your flesh is hardly worth. If you could get all the potash and all that stuff and put it in a little container or whatever and measure it out, weigh it out and see how much it was worth, it would all come to 84 cents. Do you know what he was really talking about? He's talking about your death. When it comes down to the end of the road and your body is in the grave and your soul is going to go somewhere, if your soul is not saved, then all that's left is your body. Your body's down in the grave and all this living and looking in the mirror and taking selfies and beating up your hair and all this kind of stuff, what will it amount to? It won't amount to anything. It will amount to 84 cents. You know, I looked up what the price is with inflation recently. And the price is still under a dollar. All of the components that go into your body is still worth less than a dollar. That's how much you're worth. And we beauty it up. We think what we do is we worry so much about what other people think that we're not willing to give ourselves over to Jesus Christ. And you know what pride is? I looked up the definition of it. Pride is a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements. The achievements of those with whom one is closely associated or from qualities or possessions that are widely admired. In other words, when we begin to think that there's something about my makeup that makes me better than you. And you know what happens in a young believer's life or an old believer or any believer really is you begin, that pride begins to well up within you and you say, I'm not going to open up the door of my heart because I don't want to give somebody else credit for leading me to the Lord. I don't want to give a gold medal. I don't want to give a gold star to that preacher. I don't want to give a gold star to this church. Your pride so wells up within you until you think I'm the only one that can make a decision. I'm the only one that can have an influence that can say. And even when you begin to see other people begin to give their lives to the Lord, you're so prideful that you begin to hate and despise. Listen, that pride is a dangerous thing. Pride, when your parents begin to talk to you about the Lord and begin to share the gospel with you, pride begins to well up within you and say, I'm not going to open up the door, but if I give in, it will give credit to my mom and daddy. Listen, I believe tonight that there are some real God-fearing mamas and daddies in here. And if anybody needs some credit, it's a real God-fearing mama and daddy that will walk the walk, that will walk that straight and narrow before you, that will live a godly life, that will pray before you. Pray over their house and try to live a clean, sanctified life. But what it's time to do is time to lay that pridefulness down and open up the door so that God can come in. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. See how he lumps all that in? Disobedience to parents. I don't care what gospel my parents bring. I don't care. I'm the one that I think should be. I think that I should be the one to have a cell phone. I think that I should be the one to rule the roost. I think that I should be the one to have control. control, and that pride begins to take over, and you begin to think that you're somebody. Listen, you're not somebody. You're not worth more than a dollar, more than a buck. If we could really get in our heads that we are nothing without Jesus, without that lamb, if that lamb doesn't enter into our house, we are nothing, and one day we'll be nothing but dirt in the ground. Without natural affection, imagine all the truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Could you imagine coming into the house of the Lord and looking around at other people that are trying to live a godly life and saying, I don't want to be like that. Because of the pridefulness of your heart, the hatred and the enmity of your heart, that is nothing but the devil that has veiled your eyes and pulled the wool over your eyes to cause you to think that you're greater than the God of heaven. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Do you know what Brother Branham said the power of God is? This is a thing that stumbles a lot of people. The power of God is the Word of God. The power of God is when you allow the Lamb to come into your home, and you might feel something and you might not, but God will reveal to you His Word, and that will give you power to overcome the devil. And that's why I titled this sermon, The Key to Overcome, because the key, the Lamb entering into your home, will give you overcoming power to overcome everything that the devil throws your way. Proverbs chapter 16 says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. I'd rather have a humble spirit with a lot of people that didn't amount to much, in other words, is what he's saying, than to have great riches and have to divide it up, have to figure out a way to divide it up with a bunch of prideful people, a bunch of people that think that they're better than everybody else. And listen, believing the message doesn't make you better than the other church down the road or anything like that. But when you get a real true revelation of God, it'll bring you down until you realize that God has elevated you from a place of turmoil and despair and all those kind of things. Let's read James chapter 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Amen. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? The spirit in us is always seeking a way to make ourselves happy. Yeah. The spirit in us that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. The spirit in us is always trying to do something, but God gives us grace. Amen. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Amen. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Right. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, that's a scripture that we quote often, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But it says right before there that submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourself to God. And then, after you've allowed God to have control of your life, to come in, that you've opened up the door to Him, then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. You know, you think about all the people in the Bible that were examples of pride and the end that they came to, and people that were examples of somebody that were willing to lay aside their pride, that like that little woman that came to Jesus' feet and went by all the mockers and the scoffers, and she everybody knew Simon was there taunting her and saying, I know what she is. If Jesus knew who she really was, he wouldn't let her do that, because I know that this woman is a sinner. He said, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. But you know, when she abandoned her pride and laid her pride to the side, it got her sins forgiven. Because Jesus said, your sins, though there are many, are forgiven. The woman at the well didn't care when she heard Jesus, when he exposed all of her faults. She didn't care whether or not her past was exposed, but she ran into the city and told everybody, come see a man that has told me everything that I've done. She didn't care if the whole world knew what she had done. And listen, when God gives you a testimony, you don't care if the whole world knows what you've done. And the Pharisee and the tax collector, he said, the Pharisee looking down, I thank thee that I'm not like other men, even as this publican. And the tax collector there abandoning his pride and beating his chest. And he got his sins forgiven because he laid his pride to the side. Pride is a thing that will prevent you from opening up the door. Why do you not open the door? Because you're so prideful. We get so prideful that we come into the house of God and we're afraid to raise up our hands because of what other people will think about us. We're afraid to say amen because of what... Do you realize how silly that is? I'm not going to say amen because somebody will think... Will think what? Will think that I'm getting something from the Lord. What a silly notion that the devil has put in our heads that we can't say amen because somebody will think we're having a personal revival. Somebody will think that we're a real Christian. Somebody, I can't raise my hand and rejoice. Maybe if we get rid of pride enough that something will really happen. Maybe if we stop caring so much about what people think, then people will look at us and say, I want to be like that person. You know, really, the devil has got us all snookered so much that he's putting pride on us so much that to prevent us from being an example of what a real Christian should be. My, if we had turned loose one time and... If we had turned loose like we do when we get in our cars or in the shower or when we're alone walking down the trail on the hills, when we're studying the Bible and we're just saying, praise God, if we had turned loose and just let God have his way, I believe some doors would open up. Amen. I believe the Lamb would come in. Amen. I believe the Lamb would come into the sanctuary if we had abandoned our pride.
Amen.
If we just get to a place where you don't care anymore. Remember that man that was being testified about? He was wanting the Holy Ghost. And I forget all the names of the different people, but the brother took him down to the pig pen.
Yeah.
And he said, get down in there and wallow around. And he said, well, I'm not quite there yet. But one day he was ready to get in there and wallow around with the pigs to get the Holy Ghost. And the man said, well, you don't have to do that. You just have to be willing to. What do you have to be willing to do? You have to be willing to abandon your pride. You have to be willing to do whatever it takes. You have to be willing to open up that door. Listen, pride is what keeps us from opening the door. Pride is what says, well, I'm just gonna put the gospel up in a little bottle and set it over here. And one of these days I'm gonna get to it. But right now I'm not ready. I'm too prideful to open up the door and let God come in. I'm just gonna stick it up there, maybe on the shelf. And one of these days I'm gonna wind my way back around to it. Do you realize what that is? That is a dangerous place to be, because that's like that little boy that told the governor that told the governor, I don't have time for you right now. God is the one. The bridegroom is the one that does the calling. He's the one that does the calling and drawing. And one day he might get tired of you. He might get impatient with you and just turn away and leave you with a cold, drawn up, hard heart that can't be touched by the gospel anymore. Do you realize one of the greatest gifts in the world, that one of the greatest gifts is to hunger and thirst for righteousness? For they that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. So when you feel that little knock on your heart, when you feel that little tug on the reins of your heart, then is the time to open up. Don't put it up on the shelf and say, one of these days I'm going to get to it. One of these, not now, but one day I'm going to come back around to it and open up the heart. One day I'll get back to it. Do you realize what you're saying? One day I'm going to get back to God.
Yeah.
One day it's like you get a phone call from God and God says, I want to give you the Holy Ghost. And you say, I know I'm going to put you on hold right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the God of glory on hold and you hang up on the Lord. You don't hang up on the Lord of glory. You don't hang up on the governor. Now, when you get that call from God, then is the time to open up. And how do you open it up? How do you receive the Lamb? Is by eating the book. This is the age. You know, this is the age that God promised to come in and sup. The age that God promised in the book of Revelation, that this is the age where God, the Son of Man, is on the outside of the door, put on the outside, the complete revelation of who God is, knocking at the door, and people are not opening it. People are not opening up the door. The musicians can go ahead and come on up, because I'm going to close on this. The promise is to he that overcometh. People all around are turning him away. The denominations have turned him away. But the promise is to he that can open up the door and accept the revelation of the Son of Man, the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That if you can open up that door and get beyond all of your own resistance, your own self-doubt, your own selfishness, your own pride, and just open up that door and let Jesus Christ come in. Listen, the scripture says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That's a promise that we've got. If you'll draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And I believe tonight, that sitting here tonight, we have many witnesses of that. Many people here tonight that know the evidence, that can testify that scripture is true, that if you'll draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Maybe tonight you'll carry these scriptures home, and when you lay down in your bed and begin to meditate on this, then and begin to think upon these things and draw nigh to God and just say, God, I want you. I want you more than anything. I want you. I want to open up the door of my heart now to you and let you come in. Because if you'll draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Can we sing that song, brother?
Sing that song, draw me, Lord. The brothers in the back can bring it up, please.
I was going to try to sing, but I can't. Go ahead.
Draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you.
Jesus Christ at the door of your heart tonight.
Draw me, Lord.
He's knocking at the door. If you'll just recognize who that is at the door, open up the door of your heart tonight. I believe that Jesus Christ is here tonight, and if you'll just open it up, he'll come in. You remember, 2,000 years almost, there was a knocking. Somebody sitting on the side of the road heard a knocking, and they opened up the door, and it was a knocking, the bumping of a cross going down the road. It was a bumping of a cross going down the road. That was Jesus Christ going down the road for you to make a sacrifice so that he could knock at your heart tonight. He's identifying Christ of all ages, and he's here in the building tonight. Let's just worship him and lift up holy hands. I believe he's here to satisfy every need that you have. If you'll just open up your heart and give all of your heart to him, surrender fully, and he'll fill you fully. He's here to sup with you. He's given the invitation to sup with you. He's willing to come in if you're willing to let him. Satisfied. I want more of you tonight, Lord Jesus. I want more of God. I want to keep climbing higher and higher. Is that your desire tonight? Just lift up your hands if you want more of Him. If you want to invite Him in to sup with you.
For you are my destiny. Yes, you alone are.
He's here tonight. Jesus.
Yes, draw me, Lord.
Let's just worship Him.
I'll come running after you.
Nobody should know how to worship like the bride does. Because we've got a revelation of that King. We've got a revelation of that Lamb. We know who that Lamb is. He's come in to sup with us. He's here now in the building.
Draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you. Draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you.
If you have a need tonight, you can receive it right there in your seat. But if you need somebody to pray with you, we're more than happy to pray through with you, whatever you need. Just open up the door of your heart right there in your seat, and you can receive whatever you have need of. Amen. I believe God is here.
I'll come running after you.
Let's just take our time tonight and just worship the Lord. We're not in a hurry to get out of here. If God's here, we're not in a hurry.
I'll come running after you. You are alone, all I need. You alone are all I need. For you are my destiny. Yes, you alone are all I need. In you alone I am complete.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, draw me. Draw me, Lord, I'll come running after you.
You know why you want Him tonight? It's because there's a deep in you that's calling. There's a deep calling to the deep. The only thing that can be satisfied by is by Him. He's the only thing that can satisfy that calling. Let's sing it one more time.
Draw me, Lord, I'll come running after you.
I want you tonight, Lord Jesus. If you want Him, just lift your hands up and praise Him. Open up that door. Get rid of all that pride. Don't be afraid to just praise Him. Don't be afraid to show Him that you love Him.
Draw me, Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you.
Can we sing our bless your name?
Amen. I don't know if the brothers have the song in the back. I bless your name.
This is a song about being bound in prison chains, right. Then being liberated.
Yes. Glory.
Let's just slow it. Make sure we just slow it down a bit.
That's in right. Prisoner's chains with bleeding stripes, all inside. Let's pray that their chains were loose.
Are your chains loose tonight?
And they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. Give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name.
Again, some midnight hour.
Some midnight hour. If you should find you're in a prison in your mind,
we've got the key to
overcome. Defy those chains. Jesus. Jesus' name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We give you honor. Give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. We bless your name. We bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. Give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name.
This is just a small little glimpse of what it's going to be like in glory when we get up. Could you imagine what it's going to be like when we see him in his fullness, and where we go beyond the boundaries of this mortal realm, and we're able to worship in the way that he really should be worshiped? Could you think what kind of worship we'll be able to enter in that? There, we just get a small glimpse here, but won't it be wonderful there? Well, I think we've had church tonight. Everybody feeling good?
Amen.
I believe the Lord is in the house.
Amen.
Let's just, before we go, let's just go to the Lord in prayer one more time before we're dismissed. If you have any need, lift up your hand and we'll just go to the Lord, or any unspoken need, and we'll just remember you. I know God sees all things. We're all going through struggles and trials and strifes in life. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we're so grateful to you for your presence here tonight, for your grace to us, Lord. Lord, we know, Lord, that we're a needy people, and you made us that way because we would always need you. And we do, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that maybe tonight many of our eyes have been opened to the fact that we are constantly in need of you. We are constantly in need of an ongoing relationship with you. Grant it, Lord, that we'll never be satisfied until we see you in glory, that we'll constantly be desiring a closer walk with you. Tonight, Lord God, I want to draw closer to you more than ever, Lord Jesus. I believe, Lord, that a fire has been kindled, a revival is being started in all of our lives, Lord Jesus, that our hearts might be changed, Lord Jesus. Granted, I pray, Lord, that as we leave this assembly tonight, Lord, that you'll protect us as we go on our way home, Lord God, that you'll be with all of your little children, all of your little lambs, Lord God, and bless and keep them, Lord. All of the ones that couldn't make it tonight, Lord Jesus, be with them also. Go with your people and bless them, Lord. We thank you for your grace that's been extended to us now in this hour. We ask these blessings and these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Go with the Lord. You're dismissed. The Bible study is this Saturday at 6 o'clock.